Turn to Mark chapter 11. This is just after the triumphal entry. Jesus has cleared the temple. Jesus has cursed a fig tree. And then we want to pick up the story from verse 20. Although I'm only going to concentrate on one verse with you tonight. In the morning, as they went along, that's Jesus and the disciples, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,'" thank you very much, "'go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." And if you have an older version of the Bible, there's a verse 26, and it says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your sins." Amen. And may God add his richest blessing. Let me just put this to the side, just in case I whack it over, because you know what I am for moving. There you go. This is the verse I want to concentrate on with you tonight. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, "Go throw yourself into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So this evening, I want you to look at the lessons that Jesus teaches us about removing mountains. Jesus brings before us these tremendous words. But what I want to ask you tonight is this: what is your take on the word mountain? Any answers? On a postcard. Can I just say for me, and I don't want to fall out with anybody, I don't think Jesus is talking about Mount Everest. I don't think he's talking about the Oakles. I don't think he's talking about Ben Lomond or Ben Nalobi or any other Ben. My understanding is that the mountain that Jesus is talking about is anything that comes between you and causes you hindrance in your Christian faith. So whatever, when you're walking the Christian road and things come up against you that hinders you from going on with Jesus, you and I can call that a mountain, whether it's a trial or a testing or whatever. And that's what I want to think about with you this evening, if I can see what that says. So a mountain is primarily any obstacle that stands in your way. And there can be many mountain ranges within your own life. And I'm sure all of us have come up against them time after time. These obstacles, these mountains that Jesus talks about, may be mountains of problems and difficulties. It could be mountains of setbacks and of hardships. It could be mountains of defeat and failure. It could be mountains of fear and anger and bitterness. It can be mountains of discouragement or disappointment or sorrow or sickness or crisis. So whatever they are, when you're faced with them in your spiritual life, mountains and crises can stop you in your tracks and can stop you progressing and growing within your Christian walk, not only with the Lord Jesus, but also with one another. These mountains can stop you fellowshipping. These mountains can interfere with our relationships. These mountains can stop you loving each other. They can even stop people worshiping, and they may even stop people serving. And there's also the possibility that these mountains might be that big it will cause us to stand still in our Christian faith, or maybe even go backwards. So how do you see the word mountain? And how you see that will determine how you view this verse. If we take it being anything that hinders, then that is fantastic. That being the case, surely we can understand why Jesus himself comes to us when he knows that you and I are facing problems on any type of mountain, that he has us scratching our heads and wondering why. When in your own Christian life you're doing everything humanly possible to follow Christ, and when bad things happen to us, we get confused and we struggle. And Jesus just gently comes alongside us, and that's what he says. He says, have faith in God. You have faith in him who is able to help you deal with the mountains in your life. Trust God. Two words. Trust God. I guarantee there's been incidents or instances in your life that you've probably longed the faith that can move mountains. The thing is, I reckon all of us in this church this evening have faith, whether it's big or whether it's small. For example, if you believe in the virgin birth, if you believe in the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, if you believe in the inspiration of the Bible, if you believe these things, then you have faith. Have faith and trust God. All of us, irrespective of your age, your status, your position, whether you're male or female, whether you're single, married, widowed or divorced, whether employed or about to be retired, have had to deal with big, bad things in our lives. No one is exempt. And just because we know Christ as Savior, sometimes we think it's worse because a lot of things can happen to us. You may even be facing a big mountain this evening. But if you take Jesus at his word, he assures us that the mountain can be dealt with. And any problem, any difficulty, any crisis, any mountain in your life is not meant to control you, but by the power of God, you control the mountain. So spiritually, a mountain is any obstacle that blocks your path and can obscure your view from God. There will have been times in your life, I was going to say guarantee, but I can't guarantee anything. You probably thought, where is God in all of this? If you've never asked that question, you're very blessed. How do we deal with a mountain, which at times can be huge? And I just want to take this verse, and I just want to look at three things with you, and then we'll kind of do a wee summing up. Then I'll ask you a test. No, I won't ask you a test, just to see if you were listening. There's the first thing. Can you just look at that verse there? I tell you the truth, if anyone says to who? The mountain. So the mountain is a problem. So I would suggest to you that Jesus is asking us, you address the problem. I'm not saying I've got this right. I'm just saying if you take that verse as it is. And maybe we should be speaking to the mountain. Speak to your mountain. And you're saying, Jim, talk directly to whatever it is that is in my way and stopping me progress in the Christian way. And that's what Jesus tells us. Are you faced with an obstacle? Well, speak to the obstacle. We talk and we pray about them to God, and quite rightly so. All I'm saying is, when you look at this verse, when something is obscuring or blocking or is problematic in your Christian walk, Jesus tells us to speak to the problem, and if he screws the Glaswegian and tells the problem to shift it. Most Christians just speak to God about the problem, and that is vital, and we'll look at that later on. But why don't we just try and implement Jesus' advice and speak directly to whatever it is that you come across. Let me ask a question. As a Christian person, who is your biggest problem? Satan, well, apart from you, Satan. I think you're great, you're not my problem. I think you're wonderful. But in the Christian life, our biggest problem, our biggest mountain is Satan himself. When Christ met Satan on the temptations, who did Christ speak to? The Satan. The problem. What did he say to the problem? Get thee behind me. Do you understand that? So if you've got a problem, it's getting on top of you. Why don't you steer the problem to shift? Now that's easier said than done. I'm just taking this verse. I'm not going into great detail. I'm not a great detail type of person. I'd probably lose myself. But you know what I mean? We say that to Satan, get thee behind me. Maybe we should say that to the mountains, get behind me. Second thing I want to suggest is this. Speak to your mountains. Don't be speaking about it. But speak to the mountain. There are just those who love you. You won't be them. Probably my folk. There are those who just love to talk about their problems and their obstacles. And there's probably some folk you don't like asking. Hello, Colin, how are you? How was your day? Oh, let me tell you, Jim. You wouldn't believe what I've had to go through. You know? And they just talk about it all the time. They're so busy talking about the problems that sometimes they never get round to managing and addressing the actual problem that's confronting them. According to Jesus, this mountain is here. We are supposed to talk to it. But sometimes when we have a problem, we tell our neighbours, we tell our friends. You might want to even tell the postman if you're friendly with him. But then Jesus says, you tell the mountain to go and throw yourself into the sea. The truth is more, you talk about your mountain. You know what happens? It gets bigger. We talk about it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes what was just a wee totty anthill of an issue becomes a big, massive thing. So why don't you speak God's word to that mountain? And why don't you speak to doubt and fear and worry and tell them to leave you alone? Thirdly, when you speak to your mountain, speak also to your God. Look what the verse says. Jesus says, if anyone, and whether you believe this or not, you are anyone. I know in my eyes you're somebody, you're something spectacular, but you're anyone. If anyone speaks to the mountain, so you have to say. And you may have to say to Jesus, and it's good to talk to Christ. Many years ago, someone said his friend wasn't well. Some had to look after the sick man, maybe his sisters. But someone had to go to Jesus. Someone had to say to Jesus. And the two sisters sent that someone. And so that someone went and found Christ and says to him, Lord, the one that you love is sick. Someone had to say. Someone had to take that message to Christ. The one that you love is sick. And the principle is there. You and I have to take these things to Jesus. And I could do a big, massive sermon on here, and I'm not going to do that. The importance of praying. And we know that the healing began when the request was made known by the friend of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. The one you love is ill. Because someone went and said, Jesus acted. Do you think we miss out on the blessings of things because we don't tell Jesus? I think we miss out on things in life because we don't take the time just to say. And yet this verse tells me quite clearly, if anyone says, the power of the prayer doesn't depend on the one who makes the prayer, but on the one who hears the prayer. Now, you either believe or you don't believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. And the Savior hears you when you say. He hears the prayers of his people. He hears and acts upon it. Someone said, and God heard that someone. If anyone says. And because you and I can talk to God, let me assure you, he listens. Can I just say that you matter? Your voice matters. Jesus doesn't want to look at you and say, oh, look at that, that's a beautiful creation I made. But he wants to hear the voice that he gave you. He takes all of us very, very seriously. And when you enter into the very presence of the name of Jesus, he hears you and you are not ignored. God listens. Even when we think we're bringing wee trivial things to him. I don't think anything we bring to God, I don't think he sees that as being trivial. Someone said this, your prayers on earth activates God's power in heaven. You are someone. You are the someone of God's kingdom. So therefore, you matter. You and I may not understand, well, I certainly don't understand. I don't understand the mystery of prayer. But I know this. When I speak to him, he hears. And when Jesus hears, lives are changed. Go and ask Lazarus. And Lazarus was healed. And you've probably had prayers answered. All because someone came to Jesus and said. The verse says, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Can I suggest to you that you and I should have faith in God because God is bigger and stronger and more powerful than any mountain? Did you ever think, for example, that a man could walk on the water apart from Jesus? Well, Peter did. Because he believed in the power of God. And what about, can I just go back to Lazarus? I just get caught up with him at times. Actually, let me ask you a question. How do you think Lazarus managed to come out of the tomb when his feet were bound? Let me read this. Lazarus came out, his hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth was around his face. I said, how did Jesus manage to walk out of there? The power of God. I just think he transported him. Know that word, whech? Do you know, I'd love that. Save your fortune in petrol. Just whech me down to Susan's. You know, but the power of God. He's bound. His hands and feet are wrapped with strips of linen. And when he came out, indicates that the power of God, the power of the Lord Jesus that we love and who loves us, carried him out of the grave. And then you read these words. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Let him go. Be freed. So whatever problem you have, whatever problem is getting you down, whatever problem you think's got its old arms wrapped around you, you bring it to Jesus, and hopefully you'll be freed. That is the power of my God. And secondly, I could suggest you focus on God's power, not the size of the mountain. You know, the Bible is full of stories of people who faced mountains, and you could probably tell me loads tonight. Sometimes, I know this is hard because people love you, but sometimes your mountain is not a thing, but it could be a difficult person. We had a drunk in the church this morning who was given it plenty of that, but God in his infinite wisdom intervened, you know, but it could have been an issue. Israel, the nation of Israel, had a major problem, and their mountain was another nation, and that was the Philistines. Mind you, in saying that, the Philistines had one big guy who was causing a problem to the Israelites. The Philistine army had a champion soldier or a fighter. He was a big mountain of a man. He was 9'9". 9 foot. Imagine trying to feed that. Imagine trying to face up to 9'9". And he challenged the Israelites, and his name is Goliath. He insulted and he taunted the God of Israel and the armies of Israel. And to the Israelites, he was this major problem, but they couldn't shift him. In our verse, in verse 23, it says, if anyone says to the mountain, who came along? David. And one of the first things that David did as he heads out to meet Goliath, as he speaks to him. Did you know that? He spoke to him. David speaks to Goliath, this mountain of a man that was halting a nation going forward. And David basically told Goliath he was going to remove him. If anyone says to the mountain, go into that sea. You say to your mountain, depart from me. And David said to Goliath, I'm going to remove you. You come with me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. And you know and I know they don't come any bigger than the Lord Almighty. And then he said, in this day the Lord will hand you over to me and I'll strike you down. And just to make sure Goliath couldn't get back up again, he cut his head off. But we know the story. The mountain had to go. Before the Israelite nation could move forward, this problem had to be removed. If you look at David, just for a couple of seconds, David wasn't focusing on the size of the mountain. He was focusing on the size of his God. Some of the other soldiers may have said, look how much bigger Goliath is than me, whereas David said, look how much smaller Goliath is than God. The soldiers might have said, Goliath is too big to fight. David said, wow, Goliath is too big to miss. So it depends how you see your problem. Is your mountain big? Maybe. But maybe you need to tell your mountain how big your God is. God is bigger than any problems. I want to try and be honest with you, as I'm sure you know that. Here's the thing. I'm not saying life is easy. We're not told how long it will take for the mountain to move. Nor does it tell us how it will be moved. But you and I cannot hurry God, or we cannot force him when it comes to moving mountains. God may move it all at once, just as he did with the stone on that resurrection morning. There was a problem. Who will roll away the stone? And look what happened when they got there. The stone had shifted. He may move the mountain little by little, When Jesus started off that verse, he started off by saying, trust me. Trust me. Sometimes God will give you the power, he'll give you the strength, he'll give you the guidance, he'll give you the understanding. He may even give you the revelation that is found in the Word of God to enable you to move the mountain in your life. That's why it's very important, Christians, that we continue looking and reading and learning the Word of God so that we can handle whatever we face in our lives, but God will always give us the grace. But what happens if God says no? Sometimes God will not move the mountain out of your life. What then? Many, many years ago, probably last week as well, whenever people were building roads or railroad tracks, a mountain certainly presented a challenge. It called everything to halt. No progress could be made until they worked out the best way to deal with the mountain. So the builders had either to go around the mountain or over the mountain, or in many cases, tunnel through the mountain. But whatever route they took, the mountain still remained. But the important thing is, they worked through it, or over it, or around it. And God will sometimes guide you around the mountains, or he will give you the strength to climb over it, or better yet, God will bless you to go through the mountain. But you and I still need to realize, if God doesn't move the mountain, it will be for our benefit to build you up. It will be for his glory. That sometimes can be a bigger issue. Nevertheless, God says to all of us, trust me. The grace of God is just enough, and all we need to handle the mountains in our lives. You and I can read of people who are faced with mountains, but God was able to help them overcome them. And just in closing, we'll just finish up with a couple. Joseph, who was rejected by his brothers, sold into slavery, lied upon and falsely accused, put in jail, but in due time, Joseph went from the prison house to the Pharaoh's palace because Joseph trusted God. He had a lot of problems. He probably sat down one day and said, Lord, why am I in here? What wrong have I done? And just when things were getting better, things began to get worse again. And then we know the whole story. Then there is Job, a God-fearing man and a wealthy man. But one day he lost everything. His health went bad. His wife wanted to desert him. But in due time, Job was blessed with a new family and new children, and we know the story. But Job trusted and was blessed by God. He had a lot of mountains to climb. Then there's Daniel, thrown into the den of lions, but God saved Daniel from getting eaten. Then there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the furnace of fire, but God was with them in the furnace and kept them from burning. Do you know, I think I maybe spoken this before here, I can't remember. You know, God could have delivered Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego from the fire. Did you know? He could have delivered them from the fire. You read that story, let me tell this to you. God delivered them in the fire. That's a difference. In their tough and hard time and wondering what was going on in their lives, they're in the fire, they're in the midst of it all, and God was in there with them. And God delivered them while he was in amongst them. And you and I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I think faith in God gives inspiration. I think faith in God gives us encouragement. Even in life when things are dark and dreary and sad, I still think faith in God inspires us and helps us get through these difficult times. And when your body is weak or in the hour of temptation, or when men forsake you and lie about you and say things about you, you need to look to God for inspiration. And God says, trust me. We could speak about Paul. He had many mountains he had to cross. But we know he said that the grace that God gave him was sufficient. So God may not remove the mountain, but he'll move you to a place where it doesn't block your view of his grace. So, have faith in God. Can I say this to you? Faith placed in God is not wasted. And you can look at him with absolute assurance. You have complete confidence in him, knowing that he will never fail you. What mountains are you facing this evening? Because sometimes we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Nevertheless, have faith in God. Set your eyes heavenward and lean wholly upon him. And we trust him. Faith is trusting what your eye cannot see. Go back to when Peter walked on the water. The disciples saw the mountain of a wave, but Peter saw Christ. So whatever issue or difficulty you may be in, try and see beyond that, see Jesus. Max Lucado, in his book, Where God Whispers Your Name, says this. Hopefully it will come up. Eyes see the prowling lion, but faith sees Daniel's angel. Eyes see storms, but faith sees Noah's rainbow. Eyes see giants, but faith sees the promised land. Your eyes see your faults, but your faith should see the Savior. Your eyes see your guilt, your faith sees his blood. Your eyes see your grave, but your faith sees a city whose builder and maker is God. Your eyes look in the mirror and see a sinner, a failure, a promise breaker. But by faith you look in the mirror and you see a robed prodigal bearing the ring of grace on your finger and the kiss of your Father on your face. What keeps us going on the Christian life and witness is simply trusting in God. Whatever mountain you face in these days that lie ahead, speak to it. Tell it to leave you alone. Tell it to move away. And tell God all about it. And hopefully he'll move that for you, that you can continue in the life that he has before you. May the Lord bless these thoughts to his heart, for, or our hearts, for his name's sake. Amen.